Hey, Jason, could you put in some like award-sounding music instead of the normal Jake and Jonathan song, and we'll just sing over that? So like award show-sounding music.
And leave this in.
And leave this in as well. One, two, three, four.
Jake and Jonathan.
Oh, hey, it's time.
Hey, everybody.
Time has come. Welcome, everybody.
Time is here. It's time. Welcome. Come on in.
Jason, can you put some like clapping and kind of audience sounds in the background here?
Yeah.
Just at the start, as if, you know, it's a real awards show. Hey, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Hey.
Yeah. I can't believe this is the third December of the podcast.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because we started kind of in a December or close to it.
Third December.
Welcome, everybody, to the Jake and Jonathan Product Awards 2019. This is going to be very exciting. We have four awards to give out, and we haven't really figured out exactly whether. So I was thinking this, Jake, how about to make it more interesting? So we have four awards.
Yeah.
You and I probably have different things for each award category, but how about we just try to end with four awards in total, meaning we have to try to convince each other to choose each other's awards. So we just have one thing for each category.
Okay.
In the end.
That's a good idea.
Cool.
I like that. Okay.
The four categories, and we'll go in reverse order. We have the product of the year, which will obviously be last. Then we have the Deep Impact Award. So this is not necessarily the best design product, but the thing that had the biggest impact on our lives in 2019. Then we had the Gandalf Award, which is something that like seems quite cool and looks good, and but it might not be actually useful. So it's like for pure aesthetics, because, you know, Gandalf. And then the last in the last episode, we called it the Saggy Balls Award. We may rename it. And this is the product.
We called it. You called it that.
Yeah.
You called it
that's true. That's true. But this is the product that's really old, but we still love it today. And it's just been trucking along for years and years and years. And it's still a great product. We may think of a different name for that. But for now, it's called the Saggy Balls Award.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do
it. Okay, so Jake, we're starting with the Saggy Balls Award. Unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Let's hear the nominees. What's your nominee for the SB Award?
I'm going to list off a few because I haven't actually made up my mind yet.
Oh.
Yeah, so one of them would be Legend of Zelda remakes, because there's always like a bunch of Legend of Zelda remakes, or there at least there was.
You can't
a big
just
one
say
this year.
Remakes like generally.
Why
there's
can't
so
I?
Many. Choose one.
Well, I mean, remakes of like older games. Okay, I'll choose one. This year, there was a game for the Nintendo Switch. It's called,
Link to the Past.
It's not Link to the Past, though. Oh, man, what's it called? I have to look it up.
Link's Awakening, the remake.
Link's Awakening, the remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's an old one. That's an old one. That's kind of a remake. But maybe that doesn't really count. I guess it should be something we had for a long time, because that's only been out for a couple months.
Yeah. So the rules for this one are something that's been around for a couple of years, but is still great.
Still great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still love it.
Okay. Let's see. I would say this one I forgot to think about ahead of time.
Okay. It's all right. We're getting into it.
Yeah. No, we're just warming up. It's early in the morning here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to put Seattle as a thing that I've known about for a really long time, because I lived here a long time ago. And now like I'm more into it now than I was for a while, because like we moved back here and I'm appreciating all of the good things.
Product
about
awards.
Seattle. It is a product. It's a human product. People built all the buildings. It was, you
I
know.
Mean, I'm not going to argue with that, but it's not a product.
Okay.
All right.
Another good one. I think another nominee. So a potential nominee for me, Seattle. Another potential nominee for me. Would be coffee. Coffee is a good thing.
You piece of shit. And the other one is oxygen. Or the concept of time.
Okay. Another nominee for me would be a thing that's been around for a long time. I'll try to do one this morning. Keeping the Switch, the Nintendo Switch, continues to delight.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe one more that's been around for a while that I really enjoyed this year would be This is an old, I think pretty old product that I really got into this year is the Handy Zoom. That's not new.
What's that?
That's the recorder. I think you're the one who told me to get
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Zoom recorder, yeah.
Just a little audio recorder.
Uh-huh.
And it just does its job so well that I'm using it now instead of using...
Toilets.
Yeah.
it's replaced toilets for you.
Yeah, yeah. So that's... It's remarkable what you can do with a Handy Zoom audio recorder. Remarkable.
Okay, so you've got Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
Well, you've got Seattle. We should
probably scratch that. Yeah, Seattle, the city. Hometowns. We could just call it hometowns.
You've got coffee.
Yeah.
And the Zoom recorder. So you've got one thing. Oh, and the Nintendo Switch. Yeah,
Nintendo Switch. Those are potential nominees. I'm going to think about which one I like the most out of those.
And I'm putting forward something. I went pretty boring on this. AirPods. Again.
AirPods. Okay.
So for me, it's a daily use product that's been... And I have the original AirPods from like 2 years ago.
Oh, you're like a hipster with those originals.
Yeah. They're underground. I feel like the AirPods are just one of these products that constantly delight me no matter how long I have them. I think that's for me. AirPods are the saggy balls of 2019.
Oh, man. Okay.
For me.
Okay. Well, let me see if I think any of mine could beat... AirPods.
I also have I have two more.
Oh, okay.
I have Figma, the design app.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you know.
Sure.
And I also have iOS.
Oh, iOS.
Because iOS is such a stable, basic, I mean, it's not basic, but it's very complicated, but it's such a stable, strong product. I don't know. iOS just seems,
You know what? All you have to do is try to do something where you have a problem with your Mac.
Yeah.
Mac OS is great. But when you have a problem with the Mac, then I really start to appreciate iOS.
Yeah.
Like the other day, for some reason, like I couldn't open PDFs. And I was like, what is going on?
Mm.
And I find myself, do you ever find yourself on like the support pages on the Mac OS and you're just like in hell? Like trying different things, typing in like in the terminal window, you know, like copying and pasting code. And I'm like, God, I hope I can trust this person. I'm just typing code into the terminal window.
You just gave them access to all of your family photos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then like I install like an app on the iPhone and I was like, how is this so much better on the phone? Because they're both computers. Why is it so much better on the iPhone than it is on the Mac? And the Mac is still like loads better than, in my experience in the past, Windows. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's true. That's a good one. iOS is like invisibly great.
Yeah.
It's invisibly great.
We got to make this choice fast because the next ones are kind of, you know, more fun.
Okay. I'm sold on iOS. Let's just do iOS. Because we always iOS. Are, this is like a Mac fan podcast, really. So we should be true to ourselves.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
iOS has won the... Saggy balls.
Congratulations, iOS.
Apple, you may take your... We're going to see this on the Apple website.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Homepage takeover, for sure.
Yeah, homepage takeover. Sure. Saggy
right
balls
now,
award.
Tim Cook is like on the phone with Johnny Ive, and Johnny Ive's like, I don't even work there anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're the only one who has the password.
I wish I still worked here. That's what he's going to say.
You're the only one who has a Dreamweaver account still. You're the only one who can update the website.
All right. Great. So can you give like clapping noises in the background for each of these awards and kind of some music? So the award, the Saggy Balls Award for Best Multi-Year Product goes to iOS. Here you go, iOS.
Hey, whoa, iOS. Whoa.
All right. The second award of the night is the Gandalf Award. Can we get some Lord of the Rings music here? Okay. Gandalf Award is for something that looks really cool. Really good, but we may not buy it, or it may not be super useful. It's more of an aesthetic or something that is just cool.
Cool. Yeah, okay.
So I only have one option here for my...
Okay.
It's Cybertruck.
Cybertruck is the obvious option. The obvious
And the winner is...
option. I have another product that I want to talk about some point, and it could be here. I guess I could like put it in as like a potential favorite product of the year. You know what? Screw it. Let's just set Cybertruck for this one.
Fuck yeah.
Cybertruck. We got,
Cybertruck. Here's your award.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Elon Musk, you may take the Gandalf Award. Here you go, sir.
As we're recording it is Cyber Monday. So technically, this is the perfect day in our time
to buy a truck
to give the award to Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well done. Here you go. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now we're moving on to, now it's getting serious. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
The Deep Impact Award. So this is a product that has changed your life for the better in 2019, has improved your life.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't have to have come out in 2019, but something that has improved your life product wise in 2019. Where are you feeling it?
It's the city of Seattle.
Yeah. And also, by the way, product of the year and Deep Impact could be the same thing. It's just things that have really the deep impact on your life in 2019.
Okay. 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 Oh, man. You know, for me, okay, this is a weird one. I'm going to throw into the ring, and I'll see if I can think of any others, but I'm going to throw into the ring Scratch.
What is that?
Scratch is an online coding platform, like a coding language for kids. And I have been using Scratch with my younger son. He's gotten way into it. And so when I was a kid, and sorry, this is one of those, Jake.
Back in the 1812.
When I was a child.
Yeah. Gather around. Let me tell you the history of the realm.
No, but so when I was a kid, I used to program in this thing called HyperCard, which was on every Mac. And it was the way that I learned how to build software and like got comfortable with software, and even though I didn't code much as a designer, it was hugely helpful to me in my career and just like feeling comfortable with how software works. And for a long time, there wasn't really, that I know of, anything that was exactly like that. A lot of coding stuff was harder to get into. Anyway, Scratch, it's made by MIT, the university in the US. It's a thing for kids, and it's like you basically bring code blocks. It's like you build code out of blocks, although you can do quite a bit of customization and like make, basically you can make games and like animations and games with it. And we came across this book. I'm going to drop this book in case there's any parents listening. Or honestly, I actually think, because you know, there's always this question about should designers learn how to code?
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, if you're a designer or whatever, product person, anybody, and you feel like you don't understand code, but you're maybe a bit uncomfortable getting into it, which I totally get, because it's like, if you try to learn how to code, it's like, first you got to learn HTML. Okay, well, right.
Yeah, so, which one do you go for? Yeah. Python?
Yeah,
or,
exactly. And then you got to learn to, and like,
I have one option, Python or another.
Yeah, right, exactly. What are even names of coding things? Yeah. And most stuff that you want to do on a web page, you got to like, you're basically like hacking the web page to make it work. And you got to do so much boring stuff before you get to doing anything cool. So what's cool about Scratch is you can like straight up like make a game off the bat and you're starting to learn like how code works. You can buy this book. We bought this book. There's a super cool bookstore down the street from us. It's just like technical books. I mean, it's sort of nerdy, but that's what's so great about it. And there's this book we found called Scratch Programming Playground by Al Swigert. And it's like you buy that book and it has a recipe for making a few games, including like a platformer. So like a Mario style kind of game, like a real simple one, just like one screen's worth. But you learn how to make it with gravity and like ceiling obstructions and like ground so you can walk on the ground. It's so cool. You make like an enemy that has like a little very simple AI. And like a kid can do this. And then I was fun for me. And man,
oh, it looks dope. Amazing.
And so I would highly recommend it to you, parents with kids, to people who just want to learn more about code. I found it super fun. And it is a remarkably well-made app, this whole coding environment, Scratch. It's just like really, really well-made. They continue to update
looks
it.
Looks great.
It's great. It's great
looks
stuff.
Looks really good. Okay, so I think looking at this and realizing, so I haven't had a lot of experience with Scratch. We're probably just going to have two awards each for these last two.
Okay, okay.
So do you want to go with Scratch?
Yeah, I'll go
with the Deep Impact Award.
Jake's Deep Impact Award, Scratch.
Okay, yeah, perfect. I have three. No, I have four, and I'm not really sure which one to go with. So I have the Thermomix.
Oh.
It has made a massive impact on my life because it's completely changed my approach to cooking. So if anyone didn't hear the previous episodes, the Thermomix is a kitchen robot that has a separate app with like thousands of recipes built into it that basically just does cooking for you and like blending and frying and boiling and slow cooking and everything. So it's this crazy kitchen robot. It is super expensive, but I think it is well worth it. So for me, the Thermomix is something I'm using, if not once a day. It's being used twice to three times per day at my apartment, but I'm using it once every single night, which is a lot more cooking than I used to do. Superhuman completely changed how I work because I no longer have a massive dump of emails.
Tell me more, say more about that, because I have been feeling lately with Superhuman, like, first, actually, quick comment on your Thermomix.
Yeah.
I think that's cool because I guessed when you got it that that was going to be a flash in the pan. But it's cool that it stuck around.
Yeah.
Those things usually don't stick around.
This thing is getting used every single day at my apartment and constantly and for so many different things. Like, it's a great product. And I think it's just weird to me that the company who sells it, so they don't sell it. They only do direct-to-customer sales. So they don't have any shops that sell it to keep their margins up. But it's just weird. It seems scammy. But it's an amazing product. And then, are you still there,
yeah,
Jay?
I'm still here. Yeah, I just turned off my video because I got tired of staring at myself.
Oh, okay.
Because Jonathan doesn't have his video on. I had mine on.
Wait, I thought I had my video on.
Device,
I don't,
device
sorry.
Device was never found. Yeah.
There, now I have my video on.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. All right.
I forgot I was in the video menu the whole time. Okay, so Thermomix.
Okay, but Superhuman, though. Now,
let's talk about it.
I've been using it for a while myself, right? Because you and I started right around the same time with Superhuman, a few months.
Yeah.
I was considering it for some of these rewards. It's such a well-made product. It works really great. It's super responsive. However, I don't personally feel like it's made me any faster on email.
Interesting.
And I am frustrated by that. So I would love to hear how it's making you better off with email, because drop me some knowledge, man. Okay. Give me some tips.
So first of all, the keyboard shortcuts have definitely improved my usage of email. I think just opening my email and like pressing enter to open the first email, then E when it's done and enter to reply, and just all the keyboard shortcuts really stuck with me.
So you weren't using those on Gmail?
No.
That's an interesting thing. Go ahead.
It thought me to do that.
Yeah.
It onboarded me so well.
That is an interesting thing about Superhuman, because the keyboard shortcuts are in Gmail.
Yeah.
If you're using Gmail and you feel like you want to get into Superhuman, but like you can't afford it or whatever, like a lot of the stuff you can actually do in Gmail. It's just you have to find it and like learn it.
Yeah.
Keyboard shortcuts are huge. And I have used keyboard shortcuts a bunch in Gmail, but Superhuman taught me many more that I didn't know. And I've gone back to Gmail because there's a few things that you can only do in Gmail that I want to do.
Like what?
I'll tell you, one is that this sounds very German of me, but sometimes I don't like to open messages that I know or suspect are going to have tracking images in them, because I don't want people to know I've opened the email.
Mm.
I don't know. I just like don't like that whole thing.
Okay.
So in Gmail, I can turn that off, and in Superhuman, I can't. The other thing that I find handy in Gmail is priority inbox, and I'm biased because that's my feature on there, but a lot of times if I've been away from my email for a bit and I open it up in Superhuman and there's all kinds of like low priority stuff kind of mixed in in Gmail, it's much faster to just bulk archive that stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes things just don't work. Like search isn't working well for some reason in Superhuman. And if I go to Gmail, it like always works. So yeah. But anyway, I found that like keyboard shortcuts that I didn't realize existed are in Gmail. They're just hidden. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. I hijacked your train of thought there. What else is it?
Oh, no. The other thing is that I just feel like the interface is a lot more, it's less focused on design and niceness and more focused on pure functionality. It's super zoomed out. It's super small, which I didn't like at the start. And I just feel like it gives me a much more clean and calm overview of what I have left to do. And just, I don't know, this is going to sound weird. It makes me feel like a lot more confident about dealing with my emails than I did with Gmail. And that's stuck with me for months and months and months. And I can never imagine going back now. It owns me.
That is interesting. I totally get the more confident feeling, because I have that too. When I'm in Gmail, I feel a bit like if you upgrade your computer or your phone or whatever, and you enjoy in the first moment, like how nice the new design, or it's like a bit faster or whatever. And then you use it for a while and you forget about that and you just sort of get used to it. And then you go back to like the old thing and you're like, oh God, what? It seems so old and busted. That feeling, definitely Superhuman gives me that feeling with Gmail.
Yeah.
I felt like I could go back. And in fact, I keep thinking like about going back to Gmail. Superhuman's a good one though. I would totally support Superhuman as a good product, but it would not get my vote for most impactful.
That's fair.
I still suck at email. I feel like I still suck as much before as after.
There's one more product. I actually have two more products
Let's do it.
One is the Xiaomi Roborock robot vacuum.
This
has been amazing.
Yeah.
It just vacuums my entire apartment, and we haven't used a vacuum cleaner, a normal one, since we bought it a year ago.
By the way, this has been amazing is such a German thing to say.
What? This has been amazing. Yeah, it's a German thing to say, is it?
It's a thing that people...
What would you say?
I don't know. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
This has been amazing. Sounds like a German speaker speaking English. I don't know why that is, but when you said that, I was like, oh, that's funny. That sounds like something that a German speaker would say. I think it's this has been. I think it's that tense. Must be a more common tense in German.
This has been amazing.
Yeah. You're probably so around people who are speaking German and you're speaking German that maybe you don't see it anymore. But that's not something... I bet you people don't say that in Ireland.
That's interesting.
Because I can't imagine
this
it with
has
a
been
German,
interesting.
Can't you imagine it with a German accent? And doesn't it sound, oh, this has been amazing? Like it sounds very, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Huh, interesting. Okay. So finally, this isn't a product, it's a service, but it is kind of a product because you have to buy it and pay for it. EO, Entrepreneurs Organization. This is a worldwide organization of entrepreneurs that basically I've been part of since March. I joined. And once your company is over a certain size, you can join or you can sign up. And basically you get, essentially it's therapy for entrepreneurs. Like you kind of do different retreats and share the kind of struggles you're having as an entrepreneur and the things that normal people don't want to hear about because it all sounds like first world problems. And this has been, because it's actually, being an entrepreneur is one of those things that can cause people to go really off track mentally after a while, because it's a very isolating exercise to run a company and be the boss of it and be, you know, responsible for all this stuff. And in the end, it's also kind of like a thankless job, which it is supposed to be, actually. It's like nobody is thanking you for being the boss. Like no one's like, oh, great job. You know, it's more like, oh, you're the boss and, you know, you have to do stuff for me. Like, you know, like kids with parents and stuff like that. I have to do a good job. It's not like I can just half-ass it. But EO has been a great outlet for me to meet and speak and share with people who have similar problems to me. And it's executed quite well for a service that's mostly run by volunteers, which I'm amazed by. It's crazy how much effort, like there are CEOs of massive multi-million dollar companies volunteering a crap ton of their time to run these EO events because they just believe in it so much. I just came back from a 3-day retreat in the Alps, and I'm pretty sure it was free for me to be part of it. And like there were at like 5 or 6 people, CEOs of way bigger companies than me, volunteered for the entire weekend to bring us on this retreat and run these workshops for us. So that has been massively impactful on my life.
Just yesterday, I was talking to a guy and he was talking about EO. He had heard about EO and his perspective on it, or from just hearing about, like, somebody had, he'd been invited to join like 2 or 3 times or something. And he was like, oh, it just sounds so like, it sounds very like scammy to him. Like it sounded like scammy and it sounded like...
Or culty.
And culty. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And like sleazy almost, like, oh, like you have to have like this much revenue or whatever. I don't know him well enough, although he's a super nice guy. I don't know him well enough to like really dig in. We sort of like haven't spent a lot of time together. So I didn't want one of our first interactions to be like, oh, well, my friend is like really into it. Like, tell me more about why you hated, why your impression was so negative. Because I thought he was then going to think I was like sleazy too. And I was, I felt nervous. I'm, you know, I'm kind of like social. I'm not good socially when I'm first sort of meeting people, or ever, actually ever. Mm. But it's interesting because I'm looking at the website right now, right? EONetwork.org. I ran a search while you were talking about it.
That website is horrible. It's almost as bad as the AJ and Smart website.
It does look pretty bad, actually. It looks a bit, I'm not sure how I would make this website look if I were in charge of it, but it doesn't look as great as what you're describing.
Yeah.
It's like Octane blog and like, why join? And like the graphics are kind of all over the place and it looks like some stock. It's got one of those things where it's like all the numbers, you know, and I guess the numbers are impressive. 61 countries, 14,000 members.
I think it's also a nonprofit. It's a lot of volunteers.
The way you describe it is much different from how it comes across and even from how it sounded when you first described it briefly to me. So that's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing that I think is a lesson I have to learn over and over and over again, which is that like the impression I get initially is not, I'm too quick to judge sometimes.
Me too. You know. Me too. Someone showed this to me 2 years ago. I looked at it and I was like, what the fuck is that? I literally looked at it and said, this looks like the saddest crap I've ever seen in my life. I'm never going to be part of this. Until some smart people that I know, like Mona Patel, I met her at her EO retreat. And I was like, hey, you know, what are you doing? She's running a big company. And I was like, what are you doing here? And she's like, oh, I'm in this EO thing. And I was like, oh, can you tell me a bit more about that? And she's like, oh my God, if you're an entrepreneur, the thing is, and I'm not going to go really deep into it, it's 100% guaranteed if you run a company, you start to get kind of lonely.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, working on your own as well, but it's more obvious that you could get lonely. But if you're running a company,
everybody knows
of,
I'm
like,
lonely.
Yeah. Well, you're on your own in a room working, but I, for example, I'm surrounded by 20 people. So you wouldn't think that that's really possible. But if you think about the comparison, like an entrepreneur versus an employee, it's completely different. Employee can chat with the colleagues, really openly complain about the company.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
on the same level.
Yeah.
You're always on the same level. And even managers are still more on the same level as the employees than they are
totally.
With the owners.
Yeah.
The owners are always extremely isolated and they don't know it until usually it's too late. So I'm really happy that someone told me about this early enough and I'm kind of, you know, 31 now and part of it. Because I met people this weekend who are like, you know, 50 and 60 and they're like, oh my God, like I'm so annoyed that I didn't know about this or that nobody told me. And I think it is, you know, from the outside, it's kind of looks really cheesy or culty or scammy. But on the inside, it's just a very practical. It's also actually very design sprinty.
Huh.
You get put into a group, into a forum of like 8 other entrepreneurs that you meet every month and you have to meet them every month. If you miss it twice, you get kicked out of EO. And there's a system for having a session. So there's like a very strict system that you have to follow. And it involves no discussion. It involves no giving advice. It involves a very structured, time-boxed system, which it just really,
that's
it's
cool.
Super design sprinty. And I'm the moderator in my forum. So I'm introducing even more design sprint stuff into it. But yeah, I think that's been, if I think about it, the product that has had the most positive impact and biggest impact on my life in 2019.
I could imagine that organization having a big effect on a lot of people who work for the people who are in it, if it's as good as you say it is. I'm putting together a talk for this conference in, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, that doesn't matter. I'm going to this conference in Stockholm again next year called From Business to Buttons. And I'm doing a talk called How to Lead Your CEO, which is basically it better be good. Yeah, I came up with a list of like, they wanted a new talk and I was like, okay, here's a bunch of like, I guess I could give talks on these topics. And it was like a bunch of sort of clickbaity titles. And the organizer was like, why don't you do this one? And now I'm like, oh God, how do I actually write that? But I've been thinking back on my career and all the effort I spent trying to pitch to the things to, you know, the CEO or some leader, or like trying to understand what they wanted. I'm just thinking about all of the years of my life where my work life was essentially bent on trying to know or do whatever, like what this boss wanted, right? Like,
right.
Like CEOs actually have a huge amount of influence over, I guess this is obvious, but like really over like the time in people's lives. And
of course,
CEOs
yeah.
can make people miserable, you know, like it's, I mean,
I have.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. So.
But not on purpose, by yeah. just not knowing how to run a company, I've made people's lives miserable.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I slowly like learned while working with startups was to have more empathy with CEOs, because spending more time with them, you realize like, oh yeah, this is a weird situation to be in. And there's no reason why somebody who has rapidly had a lot of success probably actually necessarily knows what they're doing in every aspect of everything that they're
yeah.
doing. They probably don't. And I think in general, they're probably trying to do the right thing, but it's hard. So anyway, that's cool. That's a cool one. Okay.
Yeah. And I would recommend anybody running a company over the threshold that EO has. It's different for every city, the revenue threshold, but I think it's worth checking it out regardless, especially if you feel a bit isolated, especially if you feel like maybe you're very stressed out by running your business, because what you basically get to be part of is a group of other people who are probably running bigger businesses than you that are more stressful. And you get to hear their stories and it makes you realize you're not an alien
yeah.
and that you're actually having similar problems. And, you know, even as companies get bigger and bigger. And also the cool thing is, because of the system and because of the rules, everyone, it's kind of a rule to try to be a bit more vulnerable. And so no one's really allowed to show off, which is really nice. No one's allowed to just be like, I'm great. And, you know, I did this and I did that and I'm amazing. It's quite cool. So I think that for me, the Deep Impact Award goes to EO. By the way, we should also say we're not like, these awards don't mean we're recommending the product specifically or anything. No one's giving us money, but they should definitely put the Deep Impact Award logo on the front of the website.
It should be a website takeover, for sure. For sure.
So Scratch and EO win?
Okay, yeah. Scratch and
Deep
EO.
Impact
Deep
Award?
Deep Impact Award.
All right.
There should be like product. A Deep Impact sound, like a...
Yeah. Can you do a Deep Impact sound? Here you go, EO. Here you go, Scratch.
Congratulations. All right. Okay.
All right, the big one, Jake. The biggie.
Ooh, man.
The big dog. Woo! Product of the year 2019.
Product of the year.
What are you feeling, man?
Okay, this week I got a new pair of Air Jordans. They're from the year...
Cool.
I don't remember, God, what year are they from? They're the Air Jordan 4s. So for those of you who are listening, who are sneakerheads, maybe you know the Air Jordan 4s, and there's a really... cool pair that just came out on the sneakers app.
Yeah.
I got them.
Which sneakers app? Is it GOAT?
No, well, it's actually, I use the Nike sneakers app. So it's called it's SNKRS.
Okay.
And they just are like all the time releasing new, like limited run shoes. So
yeah,
I got these Air Jordans. I put them on Thanksgiving Day. I walked out. Thanksgiving is our celebration here in the United States. I needed to go to the bakery, which it turns out was closed. I'm an idiot. It was Thanksgiving. But on the way, this is like two blocks from my house, maybe three. I'm walking down the hill. This car drives by, slams on the brakes. And there's like a person who's walking like just past me on the sidewalk. So I kind of like look back, look at the car. Window rolls down. Guy like leans out of the car, looks over at me, and he's like, "Your Air Jordans are dope." And then he's like, "Your Jordans are dope."
That is so
happy
funny.
Happy Thanksgiving. And then he drove off.
What? Wait, how do I find a picture of them? What are they called?
Let's see. How do we find it? Not in the app. If you, because you're on the web browser. If you go to Nike.com, go to men sneakers launch calendars on the bottom of shoes, SNKRS launch calendar. And you click on that and then you scroll down. You have to scroll down a ways. And, you know, not everybody will think they're amazing. You have to kind of be old, probably, to think they're
cool.
I'm
in the sneakers launch calendar.
You scroll way down, there's one called Air Jordan 4 Retro. What the? Let's see. I'll click. You know what? I'm just going to send you the link.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Let's see here. Bop, 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 bop. All right, I'm Skyping it to you.
Oh, Skype. Skype is like a, kind of like being a boss. No one appreciates Skype, but we all use it.
We all use it. It's just, it's like a boss.
Oh my God, that's
Skype's
creepy.
Like an old boss.
Oh dear God, these look futuristic. They're like the Cybertruck of
They're
shoes.
The Cybertruck. Yeah, these are from, I would say they came out in 1989. So if you scroll down, you'll see that the shoes are not matching. They're like.
It makes me say, what the?
What the?
And what the?
They're amazing. And I am so rich that I bought a second pair of them because I'm
God.
You know what? I need
you are
to,
pure wealth.
I'm pure wealth. Just pure. I'm made of pure gold.
You're one of those people who likes to show
just
off their
shows
wealth.
It off. Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah. Because I'm going to wear one pair on my feet and the other pair I'm just going to wear on my neck.
On your servant's feet.
No, but they're so cool. I thought I want to be able to wear them. Usually I only wear my fancy Jordans on stage if I'm giving a talk. But now I'm like, I could wear some every day and then also save some nice ones for a...
Lovely.
Love them. Anyway, but...
Do you feel like that's your product of the year?
But I don't...
Recency bias in there,
Recency bias. And like, that's an amazing event to put on a pair of clothing, leave your house, go two blocks and have somebody
stop their car
to talk to you about it. That is amazing,
yeah,
right?
That is cool.
And that's never happened to me in my life.
Okay.
So yeah. I do think there's something special about those.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're number one.
Okay.
I have some other thoughts. So will you do yours and I'm going to think.
Yeah, okay. But I'm going to start with something similar.
Okay.
And it's going to be, I was walking. So I told you I went to the Alps this weekend.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful place. I've never been skiing and it was my first time in the Alps. Really amazing. But before I went, I decided I want to have some nice luggage.
Ah.
So I went to a place called Horizon Studios in Berlin, and they've got like this kind of fancy hipster luggage, which is really nice. That's not what I'm going to say is
okay.
The best product. When I left, I bought myself some luggage. I went across the road, and I saw a new shop, and it was called Allbirds, which I think you know about.
Yeah, I have an opinion,
the
but
shoes,
go ahead. You go ahead. Yeah.
So first of all, I know nothing about the company, so you'll maybe ruin it for me. And so I looked in the window and I was like, oh, they kind of look like the Nike Freeze, but not ugly.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to the Nike stores trying to find Nike Freeze that are not ugly.
Yeah.
Rarely happens, but I'm still wearing Nike Freeze every day. So I went inside. There's about 1,000 staff in there. And I was like, what is this Allbirds thing? And they're like, oh, Silicon Valley, blah, 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 blah. Tried on a pair. Loved them immediately. Favorite shoes of all time.
Wow. Okay.
Tell me.
How long ago?
Ruin it for
well, how long ago was it that you got them?
Oh, so it was a week ago.
Okay, a week ago. Okay.
You think they're going to tear immediately?
I am curious to see what you think of them over time, because when I got a pair, I loved them. Like, I was more excited than
Your child.
Than your yes, yeah. I actually put my children up for adoption just to make
just
room
so you could have these shoes
there, so I could fill their beds with shoes.
I understand.
But, you know, here's the thing about the Allbirds. First thing is, yeah, they didn't wear great. The soles wore out a lot. Now, I made the mistake of, they're called runners. Like one of the...
Which ones did you get?
They're... Ooh, let's see.
There's wool and there's tree. Wool are the woolly ones. Tree are the ones that look a bit more like the Nike Freeze that are like a bit plasticky looking. I went for tree because the woolen ones look like they would explode within 2 days.
I got woolen for sure. That's the only one they had at first.
Okay. So those... The guy in the shop even told me, yeah, they'll start ripping apart pretty quickly.
Oh, really? Okay. Is the style runners?
The ones I went for?
Yeah.
I went for the high top ones called toppers. I went for the tree toppers.
Okay.
And they're really beautiful.
Okay, men's shoes. I'm doing this in an incognito window because if I have ads for Allbirds following me around, I'm going to kill myself. Okay, let's see. So, okay, yeah, well, those look nice. Okay, so, yeah. So here's the thing. There's a pair of them. When they first came out, they had one style and it was called runners. And so I made the mistake of running in them. I thought, you can probably run in these shoes. Not all the time, just like occasionally on trip. And they shredded when I ran.
Oh.
And I emailed them and I was like, hey, like these fell apart when I was running. Any chance, you know, because they're supposed to have like a warranty. And they were like, oh, if you ran in them, you like voided the warranty.
Oh, what? I was like, that's what? Shitty.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty bad. Like, they're not for running. And but I'm like, they're called runners. Like,
yeah.
You maybe. Yeah,
they're literally called runners.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
They were really popular in San Francisco.
Yeah.
For a couple. And the style, because the style hasn't changed that much, to me, they feel very like, one of the things that's nice about not being in San Francisco, although I love San Francisco, but one of the things that's nice about not being in it all the time now is that there's so much tech culture that you see. And if you have any sense of like getting a bit tired of the world that you live in, like I got a bit tired of seeing that, like a lot of places.
Everyone with AirPods and Allbirds.
And, yeah. And for a while, like Allbirds were like the AirPods of, you know, of clothing. And so it's nice to, I have some biases that probably aren't fair about Allbirds.
Yeah. I feel like those biases are not fair and they won't affect my,
they shouldn't affect
but the thing is I've only had them for a week. So I'm not going to give them product of the year, but I did want to nominate them anyway, just because they're great.
So these are maybe for both of us, we should wipe the slate clean of shoes that we've only had for a week because it's too early.
Yeah.
And shoes, I know from past experience, shoes are unlikely to be the thing that changed my life. Okay. Favorite product of the year.
Yeah. My second, so I'll just name all of mine.
Okay. Okay.
Superhuman.
Okay.
Thermomix. Allbirds.
Okay. Okay. So we don't have to come up with a new thing that we didn't previously.
No. They can. Mention. No. Definitely not. Like the Oscars. You know, it could. It's one movie might win every category.
That's handy. Are we also doing
Lord
favorite book, favorite music, favorite show? Are we doing that another
episode? That's not this.
That's another. That's
episode. Next episode.
That's episode. Okay.
That's next episode.
Okay, well, that's a big relief. Okay. So yeah, for me, there's the Air Jordans. There's Scratch has been amazing. My nominee is going to be Scratch because of, like, the good times with my son building it. The things I've learned about how games work, like game mechanics and gravity and stuff that I was like, I've always thought the original Super Mario Brothers, it was really amazing how tightly you could control Mario compared to previous games. And what's cool about Scratch is you can actually like build those physics and it's not that
That's
hard.
So cool.
And it's like really satisfying to see the physics piece
that.
By piece come together.
Oh my God. Have you bought, sorry for interrupting
yeah,
you, but
no,
just
do it.
Have you bought Mario Maker for Switch?
No, I haven't. No, is that good?
Dude, that is Mario Maker 2 for Switch. If you guys love Scratch, Mario Maker 2 might be a really, really cool addition to it.
Mario.
You can really make extremely complex levels in Mario Maker for the Switch.
So that's what you do is you build levels?
You just build levels. Yeah, all you're doing is building and when I say levels, but you can play other people's levels, they essentially you can make entire games.
Okay, let's see. I'm gonna.
It's a game making tool.
There's a little YouTube trailer I'm gonna watch here.
Yeah, it's probably the best easy game making tool that exists.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So you're just like a little design tool.
It looks very simple, but when you actually play it and see what other people have made, because that's a big part of it, is playing what other people have made, you'll realize that the logic and physics and all of that stuff can be messed up so much you can really make whatever you want.
That's cool. That's cool. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. Check that out. Okay. Good.
Very
good.
Cool. Mario Maker 2.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to nominate one more thing. It's called the LG C9 OLED TV.
Oh, you mentioned this earlier on the show, I believe.
It's really
the TV
good.
That you got?
It's excellent. In terms of a TV, first of all, super fast interface. You tap on the Netflix button, Netflix is open in like 1 second. The TV panel itself, the OLED, is really, really great.
You said
it's
LG
perfect.
C9?
Yeah, it's the C. I bought the C6, but it's the C9 now. The C9 OLED. It's really, if you just want to have the best TV with no questions asked, just, hey, what's the best TV?
It's that one.
That's the best TV. It's really good. And it's kind of annoying because the C9 came out like 5 or 6 weeks after I bought the C6. But man, whatever, it doesn't seem to be much of a difference. So yeah, it's really, really good. But for me, my product of the year is the Thermomix.
The Thermomix. The Thermomix.
There we go. It's the Thermomix. Jonathan's product of the year 2019. Thermomix, the reason is it has completely transformed a very important part of my life and made me a much more adventurous cook.
Well, that's an interesting theme across our two favorites, is that we've let them into a very special time in our lives.
Yeah.
That's
so yours is Scratch.
Mine's Scratch. Yeah, mine's Scratch.
Yay!
Yay! Scratch.
Okay, here you go, Thermomix.
Oh, I should have done EA for Thermomix too. Hey, Thermomix! Oh, Thermomix!
Yay.
Oh. Okay.
So if anyone's listening to this who knows somebody working at Fullback, who makes Thermomix or Scratch or MIT Scratch team,
yeah,
make sure you let them know that they won Product of the Year 2019.
Product of the Year.
On the most important podcast in the world.
It's a big deal.
Bigger than Joe Rogan.
It's a big deal. It's a huge deal.
Massive deal. Cool.
Cool.
That was nice.
That was a good episode.
I'm super excited about the books, the best books one.
Yeah, me too. I know this. I just wanted to get this episode out of the way so that we can get to the best books, best games, best music, best movies. Cannot wait for next week.
Me neither.
Anything else to say this week?
Yeah, so the only thing is...
the sun has set while I've been talking to you. I can see that it went dark outside your window. And the sun has risen here. It's so weird. We like got the sun from you during this podcast.
That's creepy. I don't have much else to say. My child and wife both have what you say is called pink eye.
Oh, yeah.
And we call conjunctivitis. So I had to leave work today for an hour just to put antibiotic into their eyeballs. Both of them look like zombies from The Walking Dead. They have goo pouring out of their eyes and they can't open their eyes. So it looks really creepy. So that's great. And I finished I Am Legend. It was a great read. I have to say, it was a very good book. And I'm currently reading Good Strategy, Bad Strategy. It won't be in the awards because I'm not going to have it finished. But it's a great book if you're looking for what is just the best book on strategy. I'm on to like the last one I haven't read. And Good Strategy, Bad Strategy is the best one, definitely. So
Good Strategy, Bad Strategy.
Yeah, so I've read Blue Ocean Strategy. I've read Blue Ocean Shift. I've read Playing to Win. I haven't read, but I've been flipping through the Harvard Business School book called Strategy. And Good Strategy, Bad Strategy is so far the best anything I've read on the topic of strategy. And the least, it's almost like internally at AJ and Smart, we're calling it the sprint for strategy, like the sprint book for strategy.
Because it has sort of a recipe?
Not really. So it's not an accurate statement, but it's like the book that has given us all this aha moment in the way that sprint did, but nothing else did.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. It's interesting because it looks like one of these ones that's maybe a teensy bit under the radar.
Maybe it is, yeah. And I have to give Tim and Steve at AJ and Smart the credit for resurrecting it because I bought a lot of copies of it and it was sitting around the office for a long time. But we started running strategy sprints at AJ and Smart for clients and we were looking for, you know, what's like the best source. We basically, the two guys read all of the strategy books and took all the courses and did all the things And good strategy, bad strategy just started spreading like wildfire throughout the company and finally got to me. I mean, that's a cool thing about AJ and Smart, that there's so many people here that are just excited to learn.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Good strategy, bad strategy, I can already tell, has been a very big influencer on the entire company. But you know what? It's not Thermomix or Scratch.
Yeah. Speaking of good strategies, I think the strategy of having a couple, you know, one person or a couple people when you have a team saying, okay, we're going to go all in, or I'm going to go all in on like researching this one topic and try to find the best thing to then share back to everybody else. That's pretty cool. That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
It's so hard if you're like me and I'm like, I have this sort of limited time for reading like business books, you know? And so like, how do you decide which ones to read? Well, in the normal course of life, like you just read the ones maybe that are recommended multiple times to you, or maybe you read or hear an interview with the author, something about it catches your eye, but it's like a bit random. And, you know, there are some that sort of rise to the top because they're talked about so much.
Yeah.
Radical Candor, for example. But, you know, a lot of the time, like, how would you know? It's just based on recommendations, which is good. But if you specifically want to learn about a thing, the thing you have to do, what you, in this case, Tim and Steve are doing, read, like, review every book on the topic, read as many of them as seem valuable, and then try to figure out what's the core of this and what's the best one.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where I got to, like, Made to Stick, was reading, like, every book I could on presentations and giving talks. And then, like, well, Made to Stick was the one that really, like, came out as the winner of that.
Amazing.
But that is a interesting technique. I never thought about using that as, like, a specific technique. Mm. Like, I need to get better at strategy. I need to get better at sales or whatever. I'm going to read the top few books, and then I'm going to be looking for the one that's going to be like the go-to. Because if you have one go-to book, you can wrap your head around it so much easier too. On a team, you can share it, but then as an individual too, to have that one you go back to, that one Bible.
Yeah, which was what Sprint was for us. It was, you know, I think I also talked about this a lot on the weekend in the retreat. Having a baseline that everybody, like one source of truth that everybody agrees on, stops you from having to constantly think about the process over and over again.
Yeah.
And I think what the Sprint has done for us is just, this is the design system we use. And of course you can freestyle. Of course you can play around with the exercises and the days, but everybody needs to be on the same page and not discuss, oh, what exercise should we do when we want to do this? It's already defined. And I think the same thing goes for, you know, when we're talking about strategy, what's the common language? It's the language of good strategy, bad strategy.
By Sprint.
Also good strategy, bad strategy. But mainly Sprint. Sprint gets the Product of the Year award.
Hey, oh, surprise, once again. Everybody. Hey.
Once again. I think that was a good episode, Jake.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Cool.
What can people do for you in the world?
Just, you know, I think 2019 was a very interesting year for me. And I think the one thing I learned is just be patient. You know what? That's like the shit you hear when you go to a conference and you're looking for the answers and someone just says something as generic as that. And then they get off the stage and they think they've just done such an amazing job. No, don't do anything for me. Just enjoy your life. And thanks for listening to this podcast. You're already allowing myself and Jake to have like this outlet of fun every Monday. So don't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Just do something nice for yourself.
Oh, I totally blew it talking about the handy Zoom, because the point I meant to make about the handy Zoom is the connection it has to this podcast.
Oh.
Because I feel like it makes my voice sound more real on the podcast. It makes it easier and more fun for me to do the podcast because I'm holding a cool microphone and I got a cool little gadget. And the podcast is the thing this year that's been like a shocker, because when we started it off, we didn't have any idea what we were doing. And I still don't think we know, but at least we know what we're like, what it's not. And it's probably in 2019, I think, I don't know, we'll talk about this more in another episode. 2019, the podcast is, I'm pretty sure, the best thing I've made.
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
Because it's been a year when I didn't, it's in a way it's sad because it's just us talking with no structure to it. But I think it's been the thing, like, I always enjoy these conversations and I feel like there's some people out there who enjoy listening to this show. And when I meet folks and talk to them, I get excited about that. So it's
super cool.
This has been cool
stuff.
I
agree.
Thanks for listening.
I agree.
For sure. 100%. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. And we'll see you next week for the best books, best album, best TV show. I guess we'll do like best fiction books, best nonfiction, all of that kind of stuff. So thank you so much for listening. Let's sing it out. Jake and Jonathan.
Jake and Jonathan.
Fun. Jake and Jonathan.
Ruined it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.